my main interest is in the self and who we are. And then sometimes that can get lost to seeing me as a digital artist because I care a lot about data privacy. But data privacy, a central premise, is about individuality or the lack of individuality and the lack of conformity. That's my focus is on the self, and then with Seeing Eye, it's inherently about the self.
Can you please describe in short terms the project?
So Seeing Eye is a project that I came up with at the end of university when I was studying fine arts. And then I put it on Kickstarter. We put it on Kickstarter just after I graduated. That would be 5 years ago in November. So really almost 5 years, plus and a bit before it. And the project, the big project, which is set for 2020, sees me wearing a virtual reality headset for 24 hours a day for 14 days. Originally it was 28, but through the lots of practice, we've realized that I don't think I can do that. I'll be wearing a VR headset for 2 weeks solidly, only seeing and hearing what one person sees and hears for those 2 weeks. And it's ultimately about how will I act and behave and think. Can you condition me to think like someone else? Because I would argue if that's possible, then you fundamentally change who I am. Who I am, who I think all of us are, is our thought process and our decision-making. So then if I'm able to change that thought process and maybe think like someone else, then I would argue that fundamentally who I am has been dissolved or dissolving. And then what does then that say about my sense of self or one sense of self in a bigger way? And then there's the other side of that, which is the other person or people who are recording their life and how they will cope with the lack of privacy. That's kind of the data privacy side. But when someone is self-surveying or self-broadcasting everything they're doing, where every action, thought, and decision is there, will the lack of privacy become too much? Or will it, as I think, actually confirm themselves? Will the potential acknowledgement in every action be so self-validating, so your audience then isn't just this one person that you're speaking to, it's a potential infinite amount of people, especially with one all-seeing and all-hearing stranger, they are immersed in your life. So there's these two sides to it. And then here at Ars Electronica, we were doing a trial run of this, where it was 7 days, each day I'm watching a different person's life, ranging from an 18-year-old girl who got her A-level results the day before, so literally just finished school, kind of the limit of the legal side that we could get to, ranging to a 71-year-old woman, including a 28-year-old farmer, a 49-year-old man from Linz, as it happens, to then two 22-year-olds, a boy and a girl, to then have the comparison on genders and how that works. So I was very clear in my head that I wanted a good split in gender. So it was three women, three men, and then I did my life for a day, so I guess four men, but mine's slightly different. So that's kind of the project in a nutshell.
What's the aim of the project? Why did you start it?
The aim and why I started this project, in many ways, is the same thing. It's that, so both of my parents are Egyptian, but I was born in England. I was raised in England. I've been to Egypt two or three times in my life. I don't speak Arabic. I'm named Mark Adam Farid. My brother is named Simon Christopher Farid. They've given us as Christian English names as possible. So culturally, I'm very much British, you know, but then I'm very aware of the fact that had I been born in Egypt, had my parents not moved to England, I would probably be a very different person. I almost certainly wouldn't be an artist, which then changes a lot of who I am. But then also I'd probably be Muslim, because you have to be Muslim, essentially. I'm not religious, neither are my parents. But, you know, so there's these very obvious, as much as smaller cultural things. Sexism is another one. But there's lots of things where I would have been different. So I was very interested in that how could I... But I'm the same person, so how could I be so different? That's the environment that we're within. That's the environment that we're brought up in, that we're surrounded by. And then it was getting me to think more and more about the construct of the society and how all of this is so man-made and so built and not real, but it is real, but it's not real, it's not natural. That this building that we're sat in, the park that we go to, the way we walk down the street, the fields even that we go and hang out in, all of that is man's influence and we're constantly reacting to this man-made environment. So I wanted to know how I could change. How is that possible? That could I then start thinking of someone else if I was able to be in their shoes, in their body for long enough? And then I realized that VR is a thing. And it was like, cool, wait, we can use VR to actually do this. This maybe is possible. That, so really what I want to know is how much of the self is an inherent self and how much of the self is made up of this cultural identity, and where do the two meet? And then that was really kind of where the project stems from. It took a year to come up with that, but that was kind of where it stems from. And that's why I would really, for the real thing, I would quite like it to be an Egyptian person. I'd like to really play with that question of the inherent and cultural self, because I always thought the inherent self in me was English, but actually it isn't. It's the cultural side, and the inherent self is Egyptian. So let's see if we could then have the cultural side as an Egyptian person and then see where that leads us. But that would need me to learn Arabic, for starters, and even just reading and speaking it is a whole other process. But yeah, I'd like it to be an Egyptian person.